Course on breathing. The four necessary conditions to practice spiritual breathing. In the Orient as well as in the Occident, a great importance is attributed to breathing in spiritual development. For example, the expression breath of the spirit can often be found in Western religious texts. The Swedish mystic Swedenborg, who was a science teacher in a university and who taught in several universities in Europe, entered a phase of mysticism around the age of 50. He claimed that he could travel in the other world and have conversations with the angels. He attributed these phenomena to a particular way of breathing that he was practicing. He did not hide it, he described it. We shall simply precise what he found, as I believe he hadn't understood all the necessary elements to produce spiritual breathing. He consequently did not receive any secret or esoteric teaching on the subject to correspond with the invisible world. Like children who find phosphenic mixing by themselves or acouphenic mixing by themselves, Swedenborg had found instinctively spiritual breathing. It is not necessary to seek masters or gurus to receive a so-called initiation. You can find that path yourself by following your instinct. In India, everyone knows that yogis practice a lot of breathing exercises, and until postures, asanas became the most practiced exercise, breathing was at the basis of the training of the yogis. The main problem is that there were mistakes in the translations and interpretation of these exercises for the following reason. The old texts are based on instincts. They are consequently not precise, as was thinking before the scientific era. Moreover, the transmission of ideas from the East to the West has mainly been the work of writers. They introduced a kind of Western type of thinking by adding extra elements to these exercises. But these very extra elements were introduced too hastily and distorted the true meaning of Oriental breathing exercises. If we base ourselves on what phosphenism has revealed about the way that leads to the spiritual world, by basing ourselves on the laws of analogy, we are going to understand how these breathing exercises should be practiced. This will give a new value to imprecise Eastern traditions that are actually very different from the so-called breathing yoga exercises that are practiced today in the West. As I was studying the effects of breathing on the phosphenes, a lady, professor of German in the High School of Quimper, France, had translated an old German text dating back to the 1700s. This text was itself a translation of an old Chinese text. She came to find me with this text. I do not have the pretension to teach something truly new, but to present and illustrate what is truly active in these techniques for the goal of producing spiritual breathing. This old Chinese text mentioned a circular type of breathing to achieve a spiritual goal. This lady did not know anything about my works at that moment. She had practiced this way of breathing, and she had felt within herself extremely powerful sways. She talked about it to persons around her, as she was very surprised by this sensation of sway, and those persons who had read my book The Initiation of Pietro sent her to meet me. She told me what the Chinese text meant by circular breathing. This type of breathing that we are going to study stimulates the rhythmophosphenic system when other modes of breathing do not produce the same effect. This is why this rhythm of breathing can trigger the sensations of sway, which are connected to the rhythmophosphenic system. Only a certain way to practice stimulates this rhythmophosphenic system. This is what we are going to analyze. What did the expression circular breathing mean? It consists in projecting on the brain a rhythm that is as close as possible to the sine wave. Why? You remember that this wave composes all the universe as, however complicated, a vibration. It is made of intertwined sine waves, and everything in the universe can be considered as an aspect of this periodic phenomenon. You can check the lesson on rhythmic thinking for more information. Consequently, we should endeavor to generate this sine wave rhythm within the brain by projecting the rhythm of breathing on the brain. This leads us to consider the four conditions to practice spiritual breathing. The first two conditions favor spiritual breathing. The last two conditions are absolutely essential. If they are not met, no spiritual breathing is possible. The first condition is that the rhythm of breathing should be projected on the brain as much as possible. How can this projection take place? To produce spiritual breathing, the rhythm that you induce to your breathing should be as close as possible to the sine wave. The first condition, that is not essential but that favors spiritual breathing, is that breathing is as deep and full as possible. Deep is not the best term to describe this, as this type of breathing needs also to be done by the top of the lung. So all the parts of the lung should be stimulated during breathing. Let us describe briefly how to practice full breathing. It is usually very well explained in schools of yoga and in various books, so I am not going to spend too much time explaining this. The right way to breathe in is by advancing the sternum and the abdomen so that the diaphragm is lowered. The air enters behind the sternum and above the diaphragm. This is a proper way to breathe in. The right way to breathe out is by lowering the sternum and hollowing the belly so that the diaphragm goes up. The air above it is pushed, as well as the air behind the sternum. By practicing breathing in and out this way, you will truly get air in and out of your lungs. The wrong way to breathe in is to dilate the ribs at a maximum and hollow the belly. What happens? When the belly is hollowed, the sternum goes up. If at that moment the sternum has moved forwards, the air goes behind the sternum and rotates. So there is no real entry of air in the whole of the lungs. This type of breathing is often practiced during sports by raising your arms up and dilating your chest, but hollowing your belly. That is a wrong way to proceed. The wrong way to breathe out is by lowering the sternum and advancing the abdomen so that the air that is behind the sternum just moves above the diaphragm and rotates there. It is important to learn how to fill the lungs this way. This is the starting point. Breathing in yoga is always silent, as it should be relaxed, but it all depends on the anatomy of your nose. Some persons will make more noise than others, but you should endeavor to make as less noise as possible. Full breathing is the first condition. It favors spiritual breathing, but is not essential for producing it. Next comes the question of the order of filling the lungs. There are three parts in the lungs, the lower, the middle, and the top part. Should they be filled with air simultaneously? Should the top part be filled first, then the middle part, and finally the lower part? Should breathing out be done in an opposite order or in the same order? Well, the study of the alternation of the double phosphenes can give us certain precisions. I have observed that only breathing with the top of the lungs has an action on the alternation of the double phosphenes. Abdominal breathing does not have any action. I do not know for sure the reason why, but I know that only breathing with the top of the lungs regulates the alternation of the double phosphenes. Consequently, it is good to insist on this particular breathing. You should start by breathing with the top of the lungs, then with the middle part, and finally fill the lower part. This is very similar to the Zoroastrian tradition transmitted by Dr. Hanisch in the Mazdazan movement, according to which breathing for a spiritual goal should start with the top of the lungs. I advise to start with this breathing with the top of the lungs. Those who are used to it find it extremely easy and have no problem performing it. Nevertheless, when a bottle or a vase is filled with water, the water falls first in the bottom, then rises up, and when it's emptied, it happens in the opposite way. If you experience too much difficulties with breathing with the top of the lungs in the beginning, you can choose a different order and start with the lower part of the lungs until you manage to breathe with the top of the lungs first. The second condition favors spiritual breathing, but is not essential to produce it. We have seen that the whole universe is composed of intertwined sine waves. So, the more our breathing will have a rhythm close to the circle, the more it will project on the brain this circular rhythm that will stimulate the corpus callosum, the seat of the connections between the two cerebral hemispheres. Certain children practice spontaneously this circular breathing. All these techniques that leads to the spiritual world are practiced instinctively by children, especially when they are on their own in nature. Often, it is adults that disturb this mechanism. I met a little girl in Quebec who, from a very early age, was a shepherd and watched over animals in a prairie near a river that is called the Saguenay. As the river is very deep in this location, long and calm waves go across it. This young girl, while she was tending her animals, had developed the habit of focusing on the reflection of the sun on water and at the same time to breathe following the rhythm of these long waves. She had spontaneously found mixing with the reflection of the sun on water, and at the same time she had found this circular breathing rhythm that is described in the Chinese text. There are many rhythms which are proposed in books, so we are going to study all the different possible rhythms of breathing and classify them according to their distance from the circular rhythm. When you start practicing, you can choose whichever rhythm of breathing you find pleasant, and when you feel that you can move on towards a rhythm that is closer to the circular rhythm, you can move on to the next rhythm. This can happen during a single session, or after a few weeks, or even a few months of practice, when you feel more comfortable with the practice. Also, I have observed that it is impossible to practice always the same rhythm. There is a kind of organic resistance. To obtain spiritual breathing, you should not focus too much on a single rhythm, but if you know their classification, you know at which distance you are from the perfect rhythm, which is the circular rhythm. So, the second condition to produce spiritual breathing is that it should tend towards the circle. Triangular breathing. The first of all these rhythms is easy to perform for somebody who has normal lungs. It is the triangular rhythm. It is a triangular rhythm for which the retention with the lungs full is equal to half the duration of the inspiration, which is equal to the duration of the expiration. For instance, you can breathe in during 8 seconds, hold the air in for 4 seconds, and breathe out for 8 seconds. I found this rhythm in a French book, and I later found out that it was the translation of a book by Atkinson that was called The Hindu Science of Breathing. The rhythm was provided in this book to accompany walking. Instead of counting seconds, one was supposed to operate by counting steps. When I was 13 or 14 years old, I practiced this technique while sitting or laying down, and I had very curious experiences that I will tell you about. I was walking a lot to go to my grandmother's house, and when I returned, I could feel much tiredness in my legs, and I needed a good night's sleep to recover. One time, I practiced this rhythm during 15 to 20 minutes, but at a higher octave with 16, 8, and 16 seconds as a cycle, breathing in for 16 seconds, holding the air in my lungs for 8 seconds, and breathing out for 16 seconds. After this breathing exercise, the fatigue in my legs had completely disappeared. The sensation of fatigue is produced by the accumulation of lactic acid in the muscle, and this shows that this breathing had increased the elimination of the lactic acid. So, practicing breathing improves the elimination of toxins due to muscular fatigue. Here is now a second experience that I've had with this breathing. It is particularly important as it seems to have saved my life. It was in 1943 in Algeria. I had caught malaria. I was in the military hospital, and it was the first time that I had malaria. My temperature was rising very high, and partly instinctively, partly because of my philosophical ideas, I started to practice this breathing at a rhythm of 16 seconds, 8 seconds, 16 seconds. I then experienced a collapsus of the heart, and I had to wait for the nurse to fetch the necessary medicine and bring it back through the gardens of the hospital. I believe that I survived because I was practicing this breathing technique, as it favors the elimination of toxins in the muscles. It probably had a very good influence on my heart. Rectangular breathing. We are now going to see a type of breathing that is already closer to the circle. It is rectangular breathing. For instance, you can breathe in for 8 seconds, hold the air in your lungs for 4 seconds, breathe out for 8 seconds, and hold your lungs empty for 4 seconds. The first triangular breathing that we have studied has only one axis of symmetry, when this type of breathing, rectangular, has two axes of symmetry. Rectangular breathing is very important. It is mentioned by Dr. Hanisch in his book The Art of Breathing as the fundamental breathing of Zoroastrian techniques. Its first interest is that it has an important action on the digestive system. Naturally, it is better to practice breathing exercises for a spiritual purpose on an empty stomach. Nevertheless, if you have eaten a bit too much and you feel heavy, rectangular breathing will help your stomach through the diaphragm. You will digest much quicker if you practice rectangular breathing. It also has a considerable action on the liver, as well as on the kidneys. You will notice that when you practice a session of breathing, for example for 45 minutes, you have a greater need to drink and a greater quantity of urine. But what is of most interest to us is the psychic and psychological action. This type of breathing favors mental concentration, but we will see this even more clearly with the other types of breathing. Equilateral breathing. This breathing is even closer to the circle than rectangular breathing. It is performed in three equal phases. Breathe in for 8 seconds, hold the air in for 8 seconds, breathe out for 8 seconds. Square breathing. Square breathing has 4 equal phases. For instance, you can breathe in for 8 seconds, hold the air in your lungs for 8 seconds, breathe out for 8 seconds, then hold your lungs empty for 8 seconds. Certain persons experience much difficulty holding their lungs empty for such a long time and should work with shorter phases, for example, 4 phases of 4 seconds. On the other hand, certain persons can perform this type of breathing with phases of 12 seconds. So, the duration of the phases can vary a lot with the individuals. It is this breathing that provides the best relaxation, and it is also the one which has the greatest action on feelings. It is the closest to circular breathing. Let us now move on to circular breathing. You can progressively move from square breathing to circular breathing. During the retention with your lungs full, you continue to breathe in during the first half of the phase, but you breathe less and less in. In the second half of the phase, you start to breathe out, but very softly, and you breathe out more and more. The main difference between circular breathing and all the other types of breathing is that the air circulates at different speeds, different rates during circular breathing, when for all the other techniques, the air circulates at a steady pace. So, this very soft breathing is difficult to realize because of this continuous variation of the flow of air. So, you can start by breathing in very softly and breathe in more and more during 4 seconds, reach a peak when the greatest quantity of air is breathed in, then you continue breathing in, but less and less during 4 seconds until you almost don't breathe at all. Then you can start breathing out very slowly at first, but more and more during 4 seconds, for instance. Then you reach a maximum, a peak of breathing out, and you continue breathing out, but you breathe out less and less for 4 seconds until you almost do not breathe out anymore. You have completed the cycle and you can start back at the beginning. Superficial breathing. This is another type of breathing that was mentioned by Mrs. David Neil as a very important practice of the Tibetan Lamas. It is very different from the other previous types of breathing, as the movements of the chest should be as small as possible. This might seem contradictory to what we have just explained, but it is not. We are going to see the common thread between these various modes of breathing. Superficial breathing can be practiced at a rhythm of 1 second, 1 second of breathing in, 1 second of breathing out, and you should endeavor to breathe less and less, as little as possible. This leads to another condition for producing spiritual breathing, breathing with a slight lack of air. This third condition is absolutely essential. Whatever the rhythm of breathing that you have chosen, there should be a slight lack of air, but not too much. Without this slight lack of air, there is no spiritual breathing. What are the effects of the slight lack of air. As the muscle consumes oxygen, it relaxes itself when you provide it less oxygen. You are consequently going to reach a state of hyper-relaxation. You will feel a pleasant sensation, curious, within all your body. And the sensation corresponds to a slightly slower state of life. Bodily functions are slowed down, relaxed. This slight lack of air causes the etheric body to be less connected to the physical body as usual. Their connection becomes looser. We can compare the slight lack of air and its action to fasting, which is the equivalent of the phosphine in the digestive system. The slight lack of air will cause an adaptation of your organism. You remember that if you put an eye patch over your eyes, you can see your visual chaos, the patches of light that remain in the dark. Well, fasting, or the slight lack of air, is an equivalent of putting an eye patch over your eyes. You are turning towards the inside an activity that is usually directed towards the outside. So, the slight lack of air is the breathing equivalent of the phosphine, and so could be called the pneumophene. When you breathe less oxygen, you create less carbon gas. As the carbon gas is a stimulant of the bulb and provokes the need for air, you are going to need less air. So, the less you breathe, the less you need to breathe. But nevertheless, you should never reach a spasm. If the lack of air is too important, then you will have a muscular reaction and breathe in. This should be avoided at all costs, as it disturbs the pleasant sensations, the subtle sensations that are produced by breathing techniques. You can vary the rhythm of breathing during the session as many times as you feel necessary. For example, you can start with triangular breathing and then move on to square breathing, circular breathing, and finish with superficial breathing. Associating a thought, the breathing equivalent of phosphenic mixing. To produce spiritual breathing, simply performing physical breathing does not develop anything. You remember that doing simply a phosphine does not develop anything. You need to mix a thought with a phosphine to produce a reaction. Again, simply practicing breathing with a slight lack of air or fasting on its own does not develop anything. You need to associate a thought to this slight lack of air to produce spiritual breathing. This is the second essential condition. You could, for instance, visualize currents of energy flowing in through your nose or through your heart chakra into your lungs during the phase of breathing in. Then, during the phase of retention, you can visualize vortices of energy whirling in the top of your lungs. Then, during phases of breathing out, you can visualize currents of energy leaving your body again through the nose or the heart chakra, but also potentially through your hands or the top of your skull. Then, during the phase of holding your lungs empty, you can visualize this current of energy rotating around you or around the phosphine or within the phosphine. There are many possible variations, and I invite you to experiment with them so that you can find the most pleasant way to practice. During circular breathing, you can imagine currents of energy rising in a circle behind you from your perineum to the top of your head, and then going down in front of you from the top of your head to the perineum. And of course, match this rhythm with the rhythm of breathing. During superficial breathing, you can imagine a current of energy entering between your eyes while you breathe in and exiting through the same spot while you breathe out. Sometimes this current of energy naturally reverses itself, and you will find yourself imagining that the energy goes in while you breathe out and goes out while you breathe in. This is a natural process, and you should go along with it. This way, you associate rhythmic thinking in the shape of visual images of currents of energy with rhythmic breathing performed with a slight lack of air, thereby stimulating the equivalent of the phosphine for breathing, the pneumophine.